Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver. We'll get to Question Mark presented by Brakes Plus in just a second. Resetting what we have going on. We've got the Avs and Blues game 2 coming up tonight. We'll have the pregame show. I'll be with you and Scott Masters. Mission 16W pregame show presented by TNT Home Services from 6 right up until faceoff. You like the Avalanche to win big tonight?
Yes, I do.
Tell me very succinctly why. Why are you so confident? Some would say Jinxie Cat. I mean, you are sounding more Jinxie Cat than even me.
No.
Hello, Jinx.
Why am I so confident? Because of what I saw the other day.
Just the unrelenting pressure, getting to pucks, getting shots on goal, out-hitting the St. Louis Blues. I pretty much every aspect of the game was that way. And somehow the Blues kept it close. Man, you ain't going to whiff on shots. You ain't going to shoot the puck so poorly. You mentioned it earlier. You know, the legs were there. The legs were fresh. But some of the skill set wasn't. One game in, yeah, but you're going to be, dude, it's like that game should have been 7-2, not 2-2 going into overtime. I just think they're going to put up 5-6 goals. And, you know, they're going to walk away with a 5-1, 6-2 victory.
So you don't think there's anything St. Louis can do to counter? To slow them down, to take the play to them, put the Avs on the defensive.
If the Avs don't fall out of the rhythm that they're in and the awareness that Jared Bednar talked about, if they don't become individualized, if they continue to play the way they're playing as 18.
Don't branch out.
No. I think Tuesday's game for St. Louis was more demoralizing for them because you had a opportunity to steal a road game.
See, I disagree. Here's why I disagree with that. Nashville losing game 2 the way they did was demoralizing because it was game 2 after game blown on game 1. They came out, they played a better game in game 2 and had their goalie play really well, took it to overtime, one lucky bounce away, and they still lost. That's demoralizing. If you're the Blues, it was just one game. It was the first game. You may have got outplayed, but you didn't get dominated on the scoreboard. You were one bounce away from being able to win this game. So I think for them, they can easily rationalize this that, hey, we were there. We didn't play our best hockey, and we were still there in overtime, one lucky bounce away from being able to win this thing. We're good.
I disagree. I just think that you...
Boy, that doesn't say much then to the mental toughness of
the Blues.
The Blues, if one game in overtime is going to be enough to say, "Oop, we got no shot."
It's not about their mental toughness. They're hockey players. They have tons of mental toughness. It's about how good the Avs are, and you come out with the realization that we had a chance to steal one, and when we couldn't come away with a victory.
I think that at some point in this series, they will arrive at that realization.
Uh-huh. No, that's the other knowledge.
Okay.
The other knowledge.
Should we recap? As part of our resetting the headlines of the day, we'll get to Tim Connelly in a second, but let's get to our second biggest headline of the day. Mark is dealing with a nose pimple.
Nose inside, not an outer nose pimple.
Right.
Inside, very, very tender. Very tense.
And you can't help but play with it, which means it just looks like you're constantly picking your nose.
Right, because it's just very tender.
Yeah.
And somewhere between taking off to Alaska on Friday, arriving in Alaska, and flying home yesterday from Alaska, I've had an inside the nostril nose pimple develop. Very tender. I have to get, though, I have to, I
try. Like your eyes watering type thing whenever you touch it?
Yeah, I looked, I went to the restroom and I looked in my nose. I've got to get my wife has one of those little mirrors that are, you know, the magnifying mirror.
Uh-huh.
I got to get up into the magnifying mirror.
Really take a look.
Maybe with a, like a safety pin.
Yeah.
A pair of tweezers.
Yeah, get to work on that thing.
Yeah, I got to go to work this afternoon. This is going to be a job.
Thanks to our listeners in Golden for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. As Jake Shapiro at DenverFan.com lays out, the Nuggets may lose, well, let me inject this right here myself, their second most important person in the franchise behind Nikola Jokic, with Tim Conley considering leaving to join the Minnesota Timberwolves in the same role that he holds with the Nuggets, the president of basketball operations. The Wolves requested and were granted permission to talk to Conley. And we're looking at probably not only a significant raise for Conley, it has been reported that he could be getting a stake in Minnesota Timberwolves ownership. Knowing the Kroenkes, I think the way that we do, I don't see them giving Tim Conley a stake in ownership.
No.
He gone.
Yeah, he's history.
He's gone.
Gotta go. If you're going to get a stake in ownership, you think Elway having to, if he could go back in time and redo it when, you know, he had all that deferred compensation that they were offering. What were they offering percentage-wise? Is it like 10 or 20% of the franchise and deferred compensation? I can't remember what it was. But, you know, hindsight being 2020 with this sale of the Broncos coming up.
I'm sure that's not something he likes to think about.
Oh, I would imagine it'd be. I mean, he's done incredibly well.
10%.
For him, so. 10%?
So this was offered a 10% stake in the Broncos for $15
million. For $15 million. You know what 10% is going to be? What's 10% of $5 billion?
Oh, my God. That would make... Look, nobody weeps for John Elway.
No.
Okay, he's doing just fine. But he turned it down, an offer. Pat Bowlen offered Elway a 10% stake in the Broncos for $15 million that Elway turned down.
In deferred compensation. So what is,
oh boy,
10%
math,
of $5 billion?
Watch out.
Of $5 billion.
Here we come.
Mad. Okay, so
we should be able to figure this out. Pretty round numbers, right?
Is it 500 million?
500 million, right?
So if you put 15 million and you use the rule of 72, that at 10%, money doubles every 7.2 years, and you put 15 million in there, when was he offered that? Like in 1980, 90-something? 1998, 99? 99, woohoo.
I don't have the exact year, but okay.
So that 15 million becomes 30 million, then it becomes 60 million. It's probably, that money at 10% would probably be 100 million maybe. Maybe 80 million. I don't know. I think that's 500 million, Mike.
Yeah. No.
The 500 million?
No, wait a minute. 10% of 5 billion is 500 million? 500 million. 500
right
million
off
dollars.
The top of my head.
500 million.
My boy's wicked smart.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, honestly, when that happened, you couldn't. I mean, NFL franchises were being bought for, you know, $180 million or something like that. $160 million.
No,
but you could. No, I
think the Cowboys were bought for like $180 million in 89 or something.
Okay,
so you're talking about 10 years later. Still.
Okay. Back to Tim Conley.
I got lost.
No, I know. Those are some
mind-blowing numbers.
Man, John. I mean, how often do you think he occasionally thinks of that?
Ugh.
Right. I mean, again, it's John Elway.
This is really my fault.
He's good. Okay, we don't need to worry about John, but still, ouch.
Right.
Ouch. Anyway, Tim Connelly. The fact, well, let's before we even talk about what's being offered to Tim Connelly, just the idea that he was being granted permission by the Nuggets to go talk about what is effectively a lateral role.
Right.
I mean, you're saying right there, we're prepared to lose you.
Yeah.
We're ready to let you go.
But I think that's part of the Nuggets.
So is that a mistake?
Yeah, no, I think it's part of the Nuggets organization, part of their structure, part of what they believe in, Mike. And, you know, you talked about the other day, or you talked about earlier this morning, organizational arrogance. I don't even think it's that. They've done this before. They have had guys move on. I believe it's part of their culture, developing guys, not only as players, but developing guys in management. And when they get the opportunity to move on, they move on because they have somebody coming up underneath that they believe in, that they believe that they've gone through the process, they've managed them well, they've grown them up, and they're ready to take on the responsibility without, you know, without having to break the bank.
But that's a lot of belief in yourself because, sure, okay, you proved you could move from Masai Ujiri to Tim Connelly and really not miss a beat, maybe even get better. So you're confident now you're going to do that a third time? Eventually, right.
Well, they also
eventually
have,
your luck runs out.
Right. They also have Carney Villanueva. What was it? What's his name? Carney.
Arturis Carney Sovis. But he's not here anymore. He's in Chicago.
Is it Chauvis?
Chauvis. Carney Chauvis.
Arturis Carney Chauvis.
Carney Chauvis.
Carney Chauvis.
Carney Chauvis. He was always Arturis Carney Chauvis when he was tearing it up in the old Big East back in the day. But
that was back in your days of Syracuse.
That was when the Big East was best college basketball you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
ACC, please. Step aside.
I was young once, too.
Watch the 30 for 30 on the Big East. That was some serious basketball. Serious basketball. But yeah, he was here. He was groomed. And so maybe that's the idea that they're just going to keep, hey, we're churning guys out. We've created a culture.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to the Masai Ujiris and the Tim Connellys of the world.
Right.
We have created a culture. And like just any good organization that creates a culture, especially based on really good players, we're able to continue to replace those players because we know what to look for. And so same case here when it comes to likely replacing a Tim Connelly.
Let me ask you this.
Can he take Michael Porter Jr. with him? Maybe that's kind of part of the deal.
Maybe
if you're the
Cronk,
you say, look, we'll let you go, but you got to take Michael Porter Jr. in that contract that you never should have signed him to.
Mm-hmm.
Although I can't.
I'd
you know
do
what?
Anything known to man.
You know what? I'd like to just pin that on Tim Connelly, as some people have. Hey, good. Tim Connelly, take your Michael Porter Jr. with you. The Cronk still had to sign off on that. You know, you don't get to just say, hey, by the way, Stan and Josh, while you were away, I signed Michael Porter Jr. to a $172 million contract.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, they had to sign off on it.
Right.
So I don't want to put this all on Tim Connelly, but it'd be a loss.
Let me ask you
this. It would be a loss. This guy has done some great, great work here.
Let me ask you this. What about the early picks? Like, I know that he's done in the second round with the guys like Aiden Morris, a second rounder.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Joker's a second rounder.
Bones Highland was late in the first round.
I know he's done it with the late picks, but what about the early picks?
Oh, Jamal Murray. Denver Nuggets haven't had too many whiffs in the draft lately since he took over in 2013.
When was
They've had some misses. Don't get me wrong.
When was Gallinari drafted?
That was before 2013.
Okay, he's still playing, by the way.
But I mean, in the years that they've since he's taken over, you drafted Nikola Jokic. Emmanuel Mudiay was seventh overall. That was a miss,
right?
Drafted Malik Beasley, who's gone on to have a really good NBA career, solid career. You got Juan Hernan Gomez. In 2016.
Budding movie star.
He's a movie star in a Adam Sandler movie. Monte Morris was the second round pick. Michael Porter. Zeke Njai, they like him. Bones Highland. So, guy's good. guy's good at what he does. Mm-hmm. Let's hope they have somebody way in the wings to pick up, because I do think he's gone. More news to pass along. The free training camp. I can't wait for Broncos training camp. It has been so boring the last couple of years.
Oh, and yeah. It
has been, it's been really sad to see. It really has, because Broncos training camp, whether it was up in Greeley or at Del Valle, was always an event. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would have families who would build their summer vacations around going to see the Broncos in training camp. And we would be out there doing shows at 6 a.m. and people would be lined up outside at 5:30 to be first in line to get a glimpse at Peyton Manning, right?
Right.
There was always a buzz. And the last couple of years, it has just been dead. Dead. Certainly not helped by those interminably long water breaks that occurred. God, I hope those things are going away.
Mm-hmm.
But just boring. No life. No crackle. No energy. Well, that's going to change this year. It's going to change with Russell Wilson back. The old energy is going to be back on the hill. But how about this? The Broncos and Cowboys are going to have joint practices the week of August 13th, culminating in a preseason game between the two here. But you're going to have some practices between the Broncos and Cowboys. That's going to be fantastic.
That's going to be amazing. Amazing.
That hill is going to be overflowing. They're going to have to turn, seriously, they'll have to turn people away. Between all the Bronco fans that are going to be out there, between phony Cowboy fans, who are Cowboy fans only because it's, you know, supposedly cool to be a Cowboy fan.
Jerry Jones will be there. Sauntering around.
Jerry will be there.
You know he will. He's,
we'll get Jerry on.
I've been
he's
talking
coaching,
about it a lot.
Coaching the team, for crying out loud. Jerry's going to be all over it, man. All over it.
He'll be walking around in shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Stopwatch.
Right. Let's pick it up out of that war.
What?
You know, I just have always on the stopwatch. Like the speed. That young man. Cut him. Cut his ass. Like Bo Redbeard. What was it coach's name from Bo, right? Red something from Waterboy.
Oh, right, right.
With a little stopwatch, he went, cut his ass. You don't get these championship rings. Only thing better than one crawfish dinner is two crawfish dinners. I just see Jerry.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah. That'll be great. I just almost wonder if you can even hold it at Dove Valley. If that's going to be such a hot ticket.
Hold it at Dove Valley.
I know it would be great. What energy! But no, you're right. You're right. You have to hold it there. You could hold it at the stadium and have 35,000 people there, but it wouldn't be the same. Wouldn't be the same.
Mm.
But that's going to be fun. Speaking of the Broncos, you pass this along. Normally, Fever and I do all the heavy lifting to prepare for this show, but yeah. You wanted to send something along. And at first, I'm like, wow, Mark's sending along something for the show. And then I looked a little deeper and then went, aha, now I get it. You sent along a list of a Pro Football, was it Pro Football Talk, Pro Football Focus?
Doesn't matter. I think it's Pro Football
Focus. Put together a list of the top 10 tackles in the NFL. And you're like, look who's not on the list.
Mm-hmm.
No Bolsey.
Right.
Holding offense. Number 72.
What'd you think about that? Seriously, what did I mean?
That he's not a top 10 tackle? I never thought of him as a top 10 tackle.
Well, he was all pro. Remember, we were just celebrating.
He wasn't all pro.
Sure he was.
He was pro bowl.
No. He wasn't pro bowl. He was
all, are you sure about that?
Second team all pro.
Second team all pro.
But not pro bowler.
I came from the mud.
Yeah. Get them chubby little fingers going. Every music, Johnny. That was 2020, by the
way. 2021.
No, 2021 was last year.
Oh, he wasn't.
No, 2020 he was all second team all pro.
Okay, we'll figure this out.
Oh my gosh, I used to be able to count on you. Now your chubby fingers are just—they've slowed down. I think you've gotten the red light wavelength on those or something.
They're too skinny now?
They're too thin.
They don't work as effectively?
You got to shove them back up.
Get
a little grease on them, like little sausages, and then they go.
Guys' weekend is coming up pretty soon. There'll be a lot of meat eaten. Second team All-Pro. All right.
2020.
So you, okay, so is he a top 10 tackle in your mind?
No, but I mean, I think he's good. I don't have any problem. I always take Pro Football Focus with a grain of salt anyhow, but.
That's nerd stuff.
Right.
He benefited, let's also be honest about 2020. He benefited from the conditions that they were playing in. No fans or anything like that.
Right.
He benefited from the bubble conditions.
Yes.
Did you see a regression last year?
Yeah, I don't think he was as good last year, but I still think he's a, like, don't get me wrong, I think he's a good player.
Okay, what, we probably ought to start talking about this because it's going to be important. What are the biggest challenges that a tackle, a left tackle, specifically, faces when protecting Russell Wilson's blindside?
Well, the biggest challenge is when Russell Wilson starts to improvise, when he starts moving around, because the angles, like you can be in a really good position. All of a sudden, Russell Wilson, bam, changes the angle. The defender can see it. You can't. Your back's to it. So when the angle changes, a guy gets on your edge, you've got to understand either how to shuffle to get, you know, to change that, so you cut off that angle, or you got to let the guy go. Bolsey, as we know, has never been great at letting anybody go.
No,
he will tackle you.
He'll clutch you close to his bosom.
Yes, and so that's a real concern. You know, all of a sudden you get a bunch of drive stoppers. All of a sudden you get, you know, a dozen holding calls on the season, man. That every one of those calls stops the drive. You know how hard it is to go from first and 10 to first and 20 and think you're going to convert? I mean, it's almost impossible. I mean, the conversion rates on that, I have no idea. It's not sitting in front of me, but the conversion rate on first and 20, I bet you is probably less than 10%.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying, let me see if I get this right here in layman's terms. When you are a left tackle for Russell Wilson, you have to understand, hey, there's only so much I can do. At some point, I got to let my guy go and trust that Russell will escape.
Correct. When the angle changes, there are times when you can be in great position, but you got to let that guy roll. And, you know, and you got to, you just got to let go. Now, you can still chase the dude and try to, you know, plaster him later or whatever. But if you take him to the ground, especially out there in the open, out there on the water, you're going to get called. And that's going to be a consistent thing. So that's something you got to think about.
Okay. We shall see. Coming up. Russell Wilson's still your quarterback today, Denver Bronco fans. Yes, I know. You haven't forgotten. The glow has not gone away. I got some numbers that I'm going to share with you, right? Everyone's talking about how big a deal it is. The Broncos are on prime time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you exactly why it's such a big deal. And our fearless Avalanche Blues Game 2 predictions all coming up next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Avalanche Blues predictions from us coming up here in just a bit. You can send in yours, already in some. 7-2 Avs, 5-2 Avs. People following up on your confidence, your jinxy cat ways.
Yeah, they're following my lead.
Yeah, they are following.
Appreciate
your lead.
You guys.
Big time. So we're all pumped up, right, about the Broncos being on national TV a bunch now?
Right.
Miss it. We've been out of the loop. We've been irrelevant.
Yes.
They've been irrelevant for a whole, what, 5 years, 6 years?
Six years, yeah.
Oh, wow. Detroit fan, hold my beer, right? Bronco fan.
Detroit fan,
hold my band.
Getting exactly zero primetime
right?
games.
Right? Long-suffering Cleveland fan. Long-suffering Buffalo fan. oh, you poor Bronco fans. You've only had 5 or 6 years of being irrelevant after you won a Super Bowl.
Right.
I know. We're spoiled here. I freely admit it. We're spoiled.
Sure.
But just because we're spoiled doesn't mean that we don't demand more.
That's right.
And we're getting more. Russell Wilson's our quarterback. We're going to be on national TV a bunch. And we've got a quarterback who loves being on national TV. How about this from James Palmer, a friend at the NFL Network? Russell Wilson has the fourth highest career passer rating in primetime games in NFL history, trailing only number three, Patrick Mahomes.
That Mahomes guy.
Number two, Drew Brees. He'll be back in the NFL.
There ain't no way Drew Brees is coming back to the NFL.
And number one, the man who helped build I Told You So Island, Aaron Rodgers.
Hey, Aaron.
Russell Wilson, number four. Steve Young, number five. Peyton Manning, number six.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, we had Peyton Manning here, too.
Yeah. Where's the beautiful one?
Brady's not on this list of the top six.
Not the top six of primetimers?
Nope. But how about this one? Wilson's 29-11 record in primetime games is the best among active quarterbacks. This is a guy who loves the big lights. Loves. This is not Kirk Cousins.
No.
This is a guy who relishes being on the big stage, which is why I don't worry about Russell Wilson on Sunday night or Monday night in Seattle.
No. No. You worry about the Broncos?
I worry about all these players who all they've known the last several years is losing.
Mm-hmm.
All these players who probably go into games hoping to win, but really not being surprised if they lose. And a coaching staff who's going to be doing all of this for the first time in that chaotic, loud environment that is Seattle. I don't worry about Russell Wilson. I worry about everybody else.
I get it. I get it. I don't, like, what I worry about more than anything is I worry about, with Russell Wilson, getting these primetime games, getting this primetime game early in Seattle, I worry about really our receiving core, more than anything else, trying to press the issue and put themselves on the map in one game. Be the reason as opposed to letting the game come to them. So you're actually out there doing things that aren't necessarily, you're trying hard. I'm not saying you're not playing hard, but you're out there, you know, singling yourself out, doing things that
you're branching out.
Yeah.
We played this earlier. Maybe, Johnny, you can find it again. I don't know which one of the Bednar quotes it was, but he was talking yesterday about the whole process that the Avalanche have and how well they've learned from their lessons and how they have that singular focus. And he talked about how we all stay together. Nobody branches out. Nobody goes individualistic. Right. And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, you don't even need to find it. I'll do it. I'll do it in my bedroom.
Oh, you're going to okay.
Just throw just some.
Give him a little bit of music just music to kind of, you know, prime him a little bit. Give him a muse.
Yeah. No, we need the, the.
Okay.
I don't worry about this team.
That sounds more like
French.
Well, no, that sounds You sound
I'm
more
French. I'm doing my French.
You sounded more Drago right there. Okay. Little French Canadian.
Just give me a little bit of Bednar so I can hear what he sounds like first. Okay. Just a tiny bit of
Bednar. Just a tiny bit.
And it rarely turns out. So this isn't just like
and
this.
It rarely turns out. So this is a process that. It's about not branching out. It's about doing what we have done during the course of the last couple of years. And the guys have learned if they branch out, we play better together than the individual.
I don't know where Jared Bednar stopped and began right there.
Thank you. You're welcome. You're welcome. So if we ever are light on Bednar sound.
Yes, we'll just...
Very much like Jerry Jones sound.
Right, right.
I am here for you, Johnny.
Okay.
Inconceivable.
Nicely done. But no, that's what you're talking about. You're talking about, and that would be, and yes, that would be my fear as well. Not a fear. By the way, I was debating about this with Lodo Chad the other day. Do I wish that the Broncos had the ultimate soft landing schedule and they opened up with Houston and then maybe went to Seattle? Yeah. I think that would be the best.
Right.
But I've got no complaints about the Broncos schedule up until the bye week, the first 8 games. I love it. I love it. It's exactly what they need for a team that's got a new coaching staff and a lot of players who aren't used to being on this platform with these kind of expectations. So I think it's a perfect schedule. It's an almost perfect schedule. What would have made it perfect,
right?
I knew they were going to be getting that primetime game early, but I wish it give me Houston week one and then go to Seattle for Monday Night Football. But, you know, Monday Night Football to start the season in Seattle, not ideal, but I'm not going to complain about it.
I like it. I like it. I mean, I really like it. Because I just think that Seattle has got more issues than they have solutions. And I know they're talking a good game, and I know Russell Wilson sucks, and he was the reason we were losing, and he's past his prime, and the whole Russ Cook thing is, you know, it really weighed heavy on our minds, and now we can get back to dominating the line of scrimmage with crappy offensive linemen and guys who can't rush the passer. I mean, I know it was all Russell's fault there in Seattle, and all you Seattle folks. By the way, speaking of Seattle folks, most of the Alaska folks are Seattle Seahawks fans.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
So,
yes.
As I was,
yes.
You know, after I got done eulogizing my mother, and the pastor of the particular church that my mom went to is a huge Seahawks fan. So, you know, he's trying to be nice. He's trying to be pastoral. But you can tell the undertones of just seething, you know.
He's mad.
Yeah.
He's not. He's
sinful
so he's,
hate.
So he's not.
It's like, so are you guys excited about Russell, or do you think he's washed up like a bum? No, I mean, yeah, but you could tell. You could tell there's a little bit of little angst, a little animosity. Oh,
okay, so even your pastor is drinking the Seattle-issued holy water, huh?
Exactly.
Right.
To which I had to say, hey, listen, you know, he who is without sin, you cast the first stone. Threw some pastoring right back.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Let me throw a little bit back at you there,
yeah.
Seahawk pastor fan.
Mm-hmm.
Checking the PGA leaderboard, by the way. Round one is underway.
Mm-hmm.
Second major of the year, early in the calendar now, the PGA. Max Homa, Will Zalatoris, Rory McIlroy. The most put-together Lilliputian you'll ever see, Rory McIlroy, all at 3 under par.
Yeah.
Y.E. Yang, Robert McIntyre, Xander Schauffele, and some guy named Tiger Woods at 2 under. Tiger.
Where, by the way,
Tiger out of the chute. Minus two.
Spieth, because Spieth minus and McIlroy one. And Woods
it's a good
are
group.
All the same group.
It's a good group. The group's playing together. Rory's 3 under, Tiger's 2 under, Spieth is 1 under.
Spieth better pick it up.
So, Tiger Woods. Tiger will make the cut, I have no doubt.
Oh, this
he'll
is
make
a,
the cut, it, but then he'll is, fade over the weekend.
This same, is a
same
major.
Thing.
Is
same
this
thing
a major?
As, yeah, same thing as the Masters.
Of course
he'll.
He does, by the way, walk with a limp.
Oh, you could tell. But he did. He said this week, every tournament I play in, every week I'm getting stronger. So he'll make the cut.
Oh yeah, there's no question.
No doubt he'll make the cut, but then he'll fade on Saturday and Sunday.
Second just, shot out of the.
He's just not ready to go
out of the rough.
Go four holes, four rounds like this. So. Anyway, he's a draw.
Yes, he
Everybody
is.
Everybody wants to watch Tiger, and he's playing well out of the start. The Avalanche are playing well. Do we expect them to continue their dominating ways, or will St. Louis issue a gut check performance tonight? Give you our predictions. Want to hear yours next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Don't forget, we have all kinds of Avs Blues Game 2
coverage, pregame and post, planned for you. I'll be on tonight with Scott Masters, hosting our Mission 16W pregame show live from 6 until puck drop, thanks to our friends at TNT Home Services. And then immediately after the game, as soon as that final horn sounds, you can tune in here for the Fans Postgame Show, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. And Sandy Clough will have that one for you tonight, right after the game. And, of course, that's live following all the games throughout all of Mission 16W here on The Fan or 104.3 HD2. It is time for our predictions.
Prediction? Yes, prediction. Pain.
Hey, woman!
Okay.
Never gets old.
Here we go. You got the Avalanche doing what tonight?
I got the Avalanche just absolutely throttling. Throttling, I tell you. The St. Louis Blues. Hey, man, St. Louis Blues, pack it up. Pack it in. Let me begin. They're going back to St. Louis. They're going back to St. Louis going, we can regroup in St. Louis. But just take, you know what they're doing? They're just taking their ass whooping.
Really?
Yeah. Just, it was like back in the, remember the 98 season with the Broncos when we played NFC East teams? Remember we played Dallas and we hung, like we scored seven straight touchdowns on them?
Yes.
And then we
35-3 at the half.
Yeah, and then we played Philly and it was the same thing. We just throttled Philly. Then we throttled, we didn't win the Giants game. That was our first loss, but it was calculated. Then we throttled the Washington in Washington. It was just like poop through a goose. It's like just line up, take your ass whooping, and then we're going to move on. And that's what all those teams did. The Giants, we just, come on. It was, what was it? Kent was the quarterback back in, was it?
Oh, geez, I have no idea.
Oh, it was some, you know, it was some also-ran.
Wow, so you just think the Avalanche, don't get me wrong. I don't see any letter from the Avalanche. They're Terminators on skates right now. Their focosity is so good. They're so locked in.
I love the fact that you pick up the focus.
I do. You know, it used to be I learned my vocabulary. My vocabulary expanded when I worked with Sandy Clough, and I learned a lot of real new words, like new words that were real. With you, my vocabulary has expanded with a bunch of words that don't exist. Did we determine that focosity exists?
I don't know.
Miraculous-ish.
Right.
Yeah. Focosity. I always tell my granddaughters, the Pope will see your focosity today while we're practicing Taekwondo. Then I'll say, show me your focus face. And they'll give me that, like this. They'll give me that look, you know, look.
Hey, look, it's one thing if you're polluting my vocabulary. Let's not ruin the precious minds of 7 and 8 year olds, okay? By giving.
Oh, she's your.
Okay. Let's do it right, okay?
I'm doing it right.
Okay.
But there's, come on. Either or either. Let's pick one English language, but no, you can use either. They're fine. Or either.
But you're,
I don't like that.
You have, there's no doubt the Avalanche come out and play really well tonight. There's no doubt in my mind. Do I worry about the Avalanche coming out flat or complacent or overconfident? No. They're going to be ready to go. To me, the wild card is St. Louis. And part of the reason why I and a lot of people picked the Avs in like six was with the idea that St. Louis would show a little backbone in this series.
You think they're going to bow their back?
I think they're going to bow their back. Yeah, I do.
Then you're wrong.
If St. Louis has anything to give us, they know. Look, they have to know. I think they're smart enough to know. You can't lose two games here and think that you're just going to go back home and win two and even up this series. I just don't think you can assume that if you're the Blues. I think you have to feel like in order to win this series, you have to come away with a split. Here.
If
you want to win this series, you know deep in your heart as an experienced Blues player. Okay, this is somebody who, you got a group of guys that won a cup just a few years ago. I think deep down they know that in order to win this series, they have to win tonight. So what do you get from them tonight? I think you're going to get an unbelievably determined effort from them tonight. Is it going to be good enough?
No, because they're going to lose.
6-2. They're not going to lose 6-2.
All right. All right.
Look at me, Fever. I'm the one. I'm the one now applying the brakes on
where do you think?
Runaway, rampant optimism, swagger, cockiness.
Where do you think they're staying? Where do you think they're staying? Four Seasons?
Sure, they're in a very nice place.
Might just go down the lobby of Four Seasons when they're walking out going, you guys are going to get your ass kicked. And just stand there and say, you want some? Let's drop gloves right now.
It'd be intimidating.
That's assault, brother.
Doggone right they
were. A lot of these hockey guys aren't exceptionally big, you know.
No, I know. But their hands. They'll
carve you up. Your only chance is if you turn it into a wrestling match.
Yeah, but if they
like start throwing hands, you're right. Done.
All they got to do, though, is grab a finger or try to bend. If they bend my left knee, I'm tapping out. They even try. I'll have to have rules before we drop gloves. I'll be like, okay, here's the rule.
Here we go.
You can't grab any of my fingers.
They're very tender.
They're very tender. Do not try to bend my left knee. That is that's a no-no. You're right. I would have to have a whole list of rules.
There would be...
Before we fight. You're going to have to sign...
Rules of engagement.
Right. Rules of engagement. You're going to have to sign a couple of waivers.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Someone's going to get bit.
Right.
All right. So you like the abs big.
I do. Are you taking the Blues?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I can't.
You have to.
I can't pick against.
You've got the Blues winning two games. So
yeah, you're right. I do.
You're right.
I did. I picked the Avs in six, with the idea that they would split the first four games, win game five here, and then close out business in game six. So yeah. All right, I'll take the Blues tonight.
Yeah.
With the understanding that if the Avs win, now it becomes they win in five.
Yeah.
They either win in six or they win in five. That's what's going to happen in this series.
Or they sweep.
I don't think they sweep. They win in six or they win in five. It's a six-game series if they lose tonight. It's a five-game series if they win tonight. How about that?
Okay.
As simple as we can make it?
It sounds like the overtime rules, but yeah, whatever you want to do. I mean, you just keep changing things. It's fine.
No, the good news is that after the Avalanche won last night, it just goes down as a flat-out win, and for the Blues, it's a flat-out loss. Okay? It's not like the regular season. Just want to let the rules be known. It's not like the Avalanche, by winning an overtime game, are now leading the series 2-1.
Who's the coach of the Blues? What's his name? Handing out participation trophies after they got to overtime. Hey, guys, great job participating. Craig Berube?
He did not hand out participation.
It's Craig Berube?
Berube.
Greg or Craig?
Craig Berube.
Craig. With a C.
Yes.
Craig Berube. Berube. I like that name.
You like saying the name Berube?
Berube.
Craig Berube. Not as cool as Jared Bednar.
No, Berube is great, though. Berube.
Berube.
What does Berube sound like? It sounds like a sandwich at like a local delicatessen. I'll have the Berube.
Somebody made a good point, though. Slaw. Hey, somebody made a very good point. If you do go down to the hotel and challenge one of the Blues and you get punched in the face, might take care of that nose pimple right away. For those who are just turning in, Mark is dealing with a nose pimple.
But then I could have
inside the nose.
I'd have the excuse. That punch didn't hurt. Well, your nose is bleeding. Well, now my nose isn't bleeding. The pimple in my nose just popped. Don't give yourself more credit than you deserve, O'Reilly. I don't sweat O'Reilly.
Yeah. Don't get too full of yourself, ROR. Yeah. All you did was pop my nose pimple.
Yeah. Now come take your ass whooping. That's right. Shoot, I would have no chance. I still think I can move like I was 19.
Right.
And the moves like Jagger.
Always good when Evan's the Jinxie Cat picks the other team. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should just 100% take it to the bank. As tonight.
Big. Avs big, baby.
Can't Mike wait. Trader going against the Avs tonight.
Yeah, he is.
You know, it's funny. How many of you, like, just casually before the series began, said, yeah, I like the Avs. Avs in six. Well, you know, if you pick the Avs to win in six, they are going to lose two games under your prediction. It's kind of like when you pick the Broncos, oh, I think they're going to go 12-5. And then when you actually pick them to lose a game, people are like, whoa, what are you doing? Well, you had them losing five games. This is one of the five.
Yeah. Math.
All right. I'm done.
Yes. Texter says, Evans, you were so cocky about the Avs on Tuesday. Now you've completely settled down. Yes, I was very enthusiastic about them winning.
You're still enthusiastic.
I got them. Need I remind you, who's the one that said that the Avalanche would cruise through the Western Conference for the playoffs? And I said that they would go like 12-4 or 12-5 and cruising through the Western Conference playoffs. Well, if you say 12-4 or 12-5, that means you're acknowledging four or five losses. And but I'll tell you what, if they win tonight, then you're looking at what? They'll probably go
6-0 right
12
now.
And probably 12-2 in the playoffs in going to the Stanley Cup Finals. How's that for jinxy cat? All right, take care of that nose pimple. Give us an update on the nose pimple tomorrow.
Thing is going to get worked on today.
In the meantime, I know you'll be working on it constantly. Coming up next, don't forget I'll be back again tonight at 6 for the Mission 16W Home Playoff pregame show with Scott Masters. Chad and Nate coming up next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.